Live on a Friday night, it is warm beer in the cheap seats. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike, Sweet Melissa. Big Ed's calling in a little bit. What are you doing?
Well, I'm drinking warm beer in the cheap seats. That's what I'm doing. How's it going, everybody out there in podcast land?
Big Mike coming at you. Got a great show. We're going to discuss a movie Sweet Melissa has finally watched.
Yay!
We're going to talk about...
Yeah, spoiler alert for everyone. If you haven't seen the movie yet, we're going to be discussing it in detail.
So, yeah, it's... So, if you haven't seen it, you better close your ears. We're going to discuss a new pizza invention.
Yes.
Which I'm always good for.
And
we're going to recap SummerSlam with our very own Subway Slam later in the show. So, why don't we get this thing going and stop... I'm going to stop yapping for a minute.
Yeah, and, you know, it's fine if we get callers. Now, I do want to say, as far as the show goes, we are not your go-to podcast on everything Canadian government. I don't know where anyone got that vibe. I don't think I've discussed Canada outside of hockey and moose, but I definitely have never talked Canadian
moose,
politics.
Like chocolate moose or like moose? A real big moose.
More like moose. The moose. Big, like, yes, the mooses.
Like Bullwinkle?
Yes.
But I don't think he was Canadian. He was pretty American, I think.
He was pretty American. Rocky might have been.
I don't know. Dudley Do-Right was definitely Canadian.
Oh, yeah. More like Dudley Do-Shit, am I right?
Yes. He was a dipshit. That Dudley Do-Right. Anyhow,
Dudley Cockright, that's what we call the
best. Oh, Big Ed.
Right here, Big Ed with the Cockright off the bat. Boom. He swings and he connects. One for one out of the gate. Yeah. Bing.
So,
Hey, Big Ed, have you been watching any of the, you know, they did a season 4 of F is for Family.
I did.
Are you caught up on any of that?
Yeah, I've watched them all.
Oh, it's okay. I'm halfway through season 4.
Yeah, no spoiler alerts. I'll give you.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I knocked that out right when it came out. I knocked out Atypical.
Well, I like the one dad that coaches the hockey team. And, you know, Bill gets, like, hit in the head. He's like, don't fight it. If you just feel sleepy, just close your eyes.
Yeah. Oh, the
great advice.
Yeah.
I think we're losing you.
Yeah, Big Ed, you're going in and out.
I'm here. I'm trying to mute when I'm not talking to keep the...
I got it.
The background noise to a...
Yeah. Well, Sweet Melissa, I finally got her to watch Pulp Fiction. It was on AMC, which...
They edit out all the good stuff.
Wow, I've never watched it edited before. It's a completely different movie. But, you know, at least she gets the premise of the movie.
Kind of gist.
Yes. But there's no GIMP. So I quote a scene in the movie that never happens. You know, they're like, go get the GIMP. The GIMP's sleeping. Well, wake him up. They didn't even have that whole scene. I mean, that was heavily edited, that scene in the pawn shop.
Yeah, it seems strange. That's
not exactly family friendly.
It's not?
No. I don't think the kiddos need to watch that. Oh. But hey.
Well, it is rated R.
Yeah, it is.
They got the rating right.
What, you know, one of my favorite part of Quentin Tarantino movies, my favorite is soundtracks. He does a fantastic job on soundtracks.
He does.
He gets the right music to set the mood for the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the movie starts with a fun Kool and the Gang song Jungle Boogie that really sets the tone right off the bat.
Yep. And then,
well, it's that, well, it's actually two songs. There's that and it's a, I think, a Dick Dale song.
Miserloo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much what put Dick Dale on the map.
Yeah. Oh, initially.
Yeah, initially. Yeah. You know, that was great. You know,
surf rock.
Surf, yeah. Surf rock is cool, dude. I dig surf rock.
Yacht rock?
No, surf rock. It's,
no.
It's like manly, unlike yacht rock, which should be cock rock.
And then you bring on the Beach Boys. They were initially surf rock.
Yeah, they're surf rock, and they kind of evolved.
Sure.
And then I would have to say one of my favorite surf rock groups, Jan and Dean. I'm a big Jan and Dean fan.
And a lot of people confuse them for
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys.
So it's like all the time. Yeah. It's like, no, that's Jan and Dean. So.
Yeah, because they had that formula of the vocal harmonies, yep, and the guitars. It's just it's easy to confuse them.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar. Hey, that's what was hot.
Yeah, they tried to do it their own version. They called it farm sounds instead of pet sounds. And didn't do.
We're losing you, Big Ed.
Yeah, Big Ed, you're going in and out again.
The Montecito might have, like, you know, electrical problems.
Yeah. Maybe their security got hacked at the Montecito. Yeah,
maybe. Or maybe they're tightening up on the security to prevent these sound waves from escaping.
Yeah, I mean, I would get Danny on that right away.
I'll get Chuckles 1 or Chuckles 2 on it.
We're already on it.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried. My boys will fix it.
Excellent. I'm glad we give you that confidence.
You know, Quentin Tarantino, he stated numerous times that he intends only to do one more movie and then retire as a director.
You think that's bullshit just to get people into the theaters to see the film, or do you think he's...
No, he's been saying that for years. He said he was only going to do 10 films and retire. Part of it was like, well, you know, as a director, you do peak at some point, and I feel like I'm in a good spot, so... And, you know, I want to leave at the top of my
game. Top of his game. He doesn't want to, you know, leave turds behind.
Yeah. Now he's like, I might still write and stuff like that. Be more of a, like a book writer. You know, an author.
I would read a book he's written.
Sure.
For sure. Because the books are always better than the movies.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's been amazing is that he's written all his screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those are original works. However, it's been rumored the last movie, I don't think they're going to do it, but he wants to do a Star Trek movie.
I would watch a Tarantino Star Trek movie. That would be...
Could you see it? That would be something for the ages to see him do a Star Trek movie.
Well, like, then finally you could go to the planet What? You say, what? Again, motherfucker. What language do they speak on the planet What? Then you're going to find out in the Star Trek movie.
There you go.
They tie it all together.
You'll find out what they call the Big Mac.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be no Royale with.
We're losing Big Ed.
Yeah. You're breaking in and out. So, Little Caesars, they have a new product, and they're turning to like the Taco Bell pizza. Like, we use three ingredients, and we just keep.
We'll just use those three ingredients in a different form or fashion, and we'll call it a new product.
It's called the calzone,
which is part pizza, part calzone.
Yes.
What part is the E at the end?
What do you mean?
It's actually an I at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either one doesn't
help. Like Clay Boney, O and I.
Calzone, O and I.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, like pepperoni has I in it.
Yeah.
It's like clay bone.
And they do have
Z.
Pepperoni on the calzone.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
It looks messy.
It looks messy, but so delicious and awesome.
Do you think it's going to be good?
Yeah. I'm a little Caesars fan.
There's one that's close by.
I know there
is. We might have to try
it. Have to try it for a product review.
Oh, God.
Wait, so it's just a calzone?
No, it's a calzone and a pizza.
Calzone, listen. Now, look, PizzaBot, it didn't die in vain for you just to say it's just a calzone.
It just doesn't make sense.
Rest in peace, PizzaBot.
Yeah, PizzaBot.
Telling you, it's like the clay bony. It serves two purposes.
Oh, I see.
We like that.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, I think maybe next week that'll be we'll experiment with a clay calzone. I was going to say clay zone. Oh, good Lord.
See, got to stop listening to me.
Yeah.
And it's not a calboni, it's a clay bony.
Clay bony.
Calboni is part of the clay bony.
So, yeah, Little Caesars. We're gonna give it a try. I'm a fan of Little Caesars, anyhow. I mean, is it the best pizza? Absolutely not. But is it okay pizza? Yeah, it's okay pizza. I really like their Detroit style pizza, which is like a deep dish Michigan style pizza, and it gets really golden brown and delicious on the crust. Wow, it's awesome. That's my go-to. If I want a deep dish pizza, it's Detroit style.
You guys watching SmackDown?
Is there pizza? You guys watching
SmackDown? Yeah.
SmackDown's out here. This match is other than
I'm liking it.
14 girls running in and out of the. I can catch the beginning of it.
Well, I don't mind 14 girls running in and out.
It's like a triple threat match, I think. Oh, Big Ed, we lost him.
Lost him again. So, what were you saying about where Detroit style?
Pizza? Oh, is there a pizzeria? Is it like you get it from like Jets or anywhere?
Jets. I really like Jets Detroit style.
There's one not too far from here.
There's one close to here, which we can hit that up. Little Caesars Detroit style is pretty good.
I lived in Dayton, Ohio. They had a Jets.
Did you get pie?
There was a couple little local places I liked. One, if dining in, the York Tavern, uh-huh. The Little York Tavern, and anyone from Ohio, well, from the Dayton area, they know that place.
Solid pizza joint.
Yeah, solid pizza. Now, in Ohio, for whatever reason, they like to slice the pies.
Like square style,
little square style, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like in Chicago, if you get a not a deep dish pizza, but a regular pizza, what we know pizza, like a thin crust pizza. That's how they cut it out there too, which I'm kind of okay. And
that's like a Midwestern thing. And I'm so
it's a good way to get your pizza count up. Like I had 35 slices of pizza,
but the slices are like an inch and a half by inch and a half.
Correct.
Hey, radio check.
You actually sound way better. I don't know what you did different. Or are you going through the app?
I'm through the app, but I went and reset my Wi-Fi.
I got you. No, you kept cutting in and out in between your
You know what? What like I noticed mid-center. When I heard myself 2 seconds after I said something to you in my headphones, I'm going, something right here.
Oh, right.
You know another interesting pizza place that's close to here? It's Lido. It's called Lido's.
It's been there forever. I've never ate.
It's pretty good. They use Provel on their pizza, not a mozzarella.
Really?
Mozzarella. It's called Provel, which is like a processed cheese. And I guess they're from I think they're from, I forget where they're, I think they're from like Missouri maybe originally. I think it's a Midwestern thing to use this Provol on pizza. No, it's a processed cheese product. That's a cheese, a processed cheese called, look at, it's Provol. And Lido's pretty solid, a decent pizza.
Probably made to melt a certain way, where it'd be too oily or anything like that.
Kind of Velveeta style.
Yeah.
And they do the old square style cutting the pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago so bar pie is like that too.
Yep. Yep.
Look, there's another Marvel movie. I wonder if his special power would be temper tantrum like every other Marvel character. My special power is temper tantrum.
Mine is to be offended.
Yeah. Yeah. My special power is like, can I speak to a manager?
My special power is I'm a Karen.
Oh, Provol is a combination of cheddar, Swiss, and provolone.
There you go. Thank you, sweet Melissa, for using the Google machine.
There we go.
That's Leo, like Chuck E. Cheese. That's what Chuck E. Cheese puts on their pizza. Those three ingredients.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go, folks. A little inside baseball. Chuck E. Cheese uses a Provol-like product.
We should do a program from Chuck E. Cheese. They serve beer.
That'd be pretty awesome. I'd do that.
Like, where are your kids?
Yeah,
like,
but you, kids? Listen,
you have to leave now.
They won't let you. Yeah, they won't let you in without kids. Hey, lady, let me borrow your kid just to get in.
Hey, kid, I'll give you like $20 for the arcade if you just sit here.
Do you guys ever watch Impractical Jokers?
I've watched it a time or two.
There's one where it was like Q, I believe. They were at like some like progressive daycare where there was a big play area. And he's got no kids, but they have him in there by himself. And he's got to try to find – they planted a kid that had a poopy diaper, and he's got to find that kid. So he's getting unusually close to people's kids and sniffing them.
Oh, no.
People did not appreciate any of that, did they?
No. Well, then all of a sudden some lady's like, I don't think he's here with a kid. And then everyone started pointing him out, and he had to hightail out of there. It was pretty funny.
It was very obvious he didn't know shit about shit.
Yes.
Well, you know, on that channel, they show that the Impractical Jokers, and the nights that they're not on, they have the Carbonaro effect.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that?
I like that show.
Yeah, you know what? I'll watch an episode, and then it just kind of, I don't know. I'm done for a while, but some of it's pretty good. I mean,
yeah, it definitely baffles me every time.
He's a wizard.
Yeah,
he's like a master of the dark art.
It's like Wilfred. You know, how does he do that with the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, he does some pretty good ones. Actually, on that channel, they got a Tacoma FD, which is pretty good. That's coming back. And that's next month.
Is it?
Yeah. And that's a couple of the guys that were from the comedy troupe that came up with Super Troopers. That's their show. That's pretty funny.
Tacoma FD, huh?
That's a pretty fun show. That's got a pretty good ensemble.
I'm sure it's better than Chicago Fire.
Gosh.
At least you didn't say Chicago Med. Then we'd have to have some more.
My dad watches all those shows.
Yeah.
I watch all of them.
I love any show based in Chicago.
I don't watch any of them.
They're like all day programming, you know, fucking Chicago dry cleaners.
There's this big tomato sauce stain on this jacket. I'm wondering if they can get it out.
When they came out with Chicago Convenience Store, that's just when they took it too far. It started hurting the brand.
Yeah, you know, you can only push it so far. Only so far. So, you know, we were talking about food.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a fan of food, unfortunately.
Yes.
or fortunately, I don't know. So we were talking before the show, and you posed this question.
Yes.
And I put some thought into it, and I don't know if I can come up with it, but with the food. But let me pose this. Here we go. Foods you don't eat based on the name.
Yeah, yeah. Is there like a name that you're like, oh, no, no, that's just too weird?
Gizzards.
Yeah, I don't eat those at all because they're gizzards, number one.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on the fact that they're gizzards.
I skip gizzards because they're gizzards.
It makes me think of buzzards.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat a buzzard. I think of it like
I got to tell you, I wouldn't eat gizzards, but nope, when I was in Korea, I used to eat gizzards from a street vendor all the time, and they were good.
What's the Lou? Big Ed, what's the texture of a gizzard?
It's kind of chewy.
Is it crunchy?
They used to marinate it. They used to marinate it. You know, I used to eat that at like 3 a.m. after about 14 or 15 beers.
Is it eating like chicken liver or something like that? Or
is it so it's chewy? Is it like
no? Coffee? It was on a skewer. The guy had like this some big hibachi, and he'd have them on there, and it'd be on a skewer. Yeah, just kind of pick it off.
Koreans do like foods on the stick. It's very popular.
There was some of the best Japan street too. Food I ever had.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is to not ask. Taste.
Give me a food. Probably.
Yeah, just yeah, go yeah, on yeah. Taste. I've had that experience in Japan, and I was just like, it was delicious. I'm probably gonna get sick if I know what it was. Mm-hmm. A food.
Give me a food.
Oh, I'll tell you one. Fudge stripes. Look, I just can't eat fudge stripes. Like. This was made from Keebler underwear. Yeah. You know, it just sounds like it's came from shit stains.
Shit stains.
Yeah, I can't eat fudge stripes. Every time I see a commercial, I'm like, that's gross.
That's dirty underwear.
Yeah. Cookies. Made by real Keeblers.
Yeah, the Keebler elves, dirty little underwear.
Yeah.
Think that Ernie Keebler does laundry? Fuck no.
They live in a tree. Of course they're not doing laundry.
You don't think they have electricity in that tree?
Hell no, they don't.
How are they baking? How they? What do they got? Like fires?
Yeah, they're using a wood fire.
Oh yeah!
Wow, they're pretty good. They get pretty consistent heat.
It's a tree, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Keebler elves live in a tree.
But the oven, they show it's a hole in the tree, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's an oven.
Yeah, they their house is also a kitchen, which can't be sanitary. I mean,
hence the fudge stripes.
Yeah, I mean. Is there a health inspector that checks these guys out? I mean, you're serving this to your children, and the children are the future.
They are. And what's that in a song?
We are the world.
I yeah. I think so.
That's what made me think. Well, yeah, I mean, so that, sometimes there's groupthink with like me and Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson, but I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Gotcha. We are the world. We are the future.
Yeah, you know, just keep on keeping on.
How about so I'm kind of stumped. I can't think of a right off the top of the head. I can't come up with a food.
Pig's feet.
Yeah, no, that's like pig's feet's a big NO.
Right? Yeah, well, that's definitely based on looks, right there.
Because it's a hoof.
Just a hoof. In a some gelatinous fluid.
Yeah. No thanks. It probably tastes no different than ham or pork, but you're eating it around the hoof.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks.
No. Out. I don't know. I can't really.
Tripe?
I'm out, dude. Have you seen that in the store?
Yeah, it's
looks disgusting.
Looks disgusting.
It looks like big gelatinous doilies.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, not doing tripe.
Yeah, I'm out on tripe. So
I'm okay with eating, you know, ribs and steak and
I'd rather just stay
in my lane and then choose my exit, you know.
Big Ed, here we go. Oxtail. That doesn't sound very appealing
or delicious. That shit is good, boy.
No, I would eat oxtail.
I eat oxtail every chance I get. Huh. I'm a big fan of oxtail. So there you go, oxtail. There's my contribution to this conversation.
We got a new caller.
Who's this new caller?
This is the Subway Slam.
Subway Slam, that's what I'm talking about. Welcome back to Subway the show.
It's been a while.
A week.
Yeah. Obviously, last time I spoke, announced my new running mate. He backed out the next day.
Imagine that. Sadly.
Yeah, he just
part of those 30 indictments.
Yeah, he backed out. So my new running mate is someone that is pretty good. Pretty good person. He's a former athlete, a former legend, and his name is Ken Griffey Jr. He will be my running mate.
Griffey Jr. You're getting all that Nike money.
Yeah, and that's why I chose him. I need the Nike.
There you go.
I wear three pair of sneakers.
Yeah, I just can't tell them that I wear Adidas.
Yeah, that's gonna be awkward. You're gonna have to put tape over the Adidas logo.
You won't switch brands? You won't go to Nike?
I mean, I'll get their money, but I'm not switching. I'm loyal to Adidas.
Subway Slam, why not?
That's not how it works, though. That's
I don't know.
They want you to wear their.
I don't know how, but I mean, I could. Like, I've wore some of their product. I just prefer Adidas.
I hear you there.
Are they also made in the sweatshops, too?
They are.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, yeah, I spoke with Ken Griffey Jr. I asked him, hey, my new running mate, Josh, he quit because of my actions, my past actions. So I asked Ken Griffey Jr., hey, can you be my new running mate? Not only I'll wear Nike, but I'll buy one of your cards from MLB The Show, the video game.
Now, are you teaming up with Ken Griffey Jr. because Nike wants to reopen the Triangle Shirt Factory?
No. I'm doing it because, Ken Griffey Jr. Probably helps me to win.
Oh, okay.
And, Ken Griffey Jr., I'm running for governor in New York, and I think Ken Griffey has pissed off a lot of Yankees fans during his time in baseball, so maybe it helps me to win.
Well, he was kind of a Yankee killer. Would this
be... Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's the point.
Wouldn't you, get the Yankee fans
wouldn't you want to get, Bernie Williams or Paul O'Neill even?
Bernie doesn't want to. He's singing. He's doing a music career. Paul O'Neill.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Paul O'Neill, he's more of a Cincinnati boy, but it's fine. He don't want to. So I asked Ken Griffey Jr., Worlds Collide. That's all I say. Worlds Collide.
Hey, Subway Slam, give us your top highlight of the recent WWE SummerSlam. What was a highlight, would you say, for you?
For sure Brock Lesnar returning. Now, I know Becky Lynch also returned, but I feel like they kind of did Bianca Belair. They did Bianca Belair extremely dirty, I think.
Yeah, I heard it was a real short match.
26
I didn't get
seconds.
To see that match.
Yeah, it was like 20.
Yeah, it was like almost when Ultimate Warrior beat the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
For the first his first Intercontinental Championship.
Real quick.
Quick ass.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, it was like 26 seconds. they did Bianca dirty. She had a good championship run, and unfortunately did not end well. And I mean, hopefully, she starts a feud with hopefully she starts a feud with Becky Lynch or I don't know, someone else like Carmella. But yeah, I'm saying Brock Lesnar, just the sole fact that I think WWE did Bianca Belair dirty when Becky Lynch came back. But Brock Lesnar, you know, it's really interesting because him versus Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman is currently managing Roman Reigns.
Yeah, do you think Paul Heyman's going to betray Roman Reigns somehow? Because he's always been managing Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Yes, I actually do think that, I think, Roman should act like a grown man, don't need, people behind him except for family, and Paul Heyman is not family, to him. Paul Heyman's just a traitor, well, not really a sort of. Especially when Roman and Brock kind of feuded for a while now.
You know what my highlight was?
What's your highlight?
The three deadliest words in all of wrestling. The RK bro.
That was good. That was a good match actually.
On the Raw, the tag team divisions are very solid, but bringing Randy Orton and Matt Riddle together, I think, is going to be good excitement because those guys could do, you know, just about anything in the ring. And
And
their dynamic, how they play off each other, is pretty fun to watch.
Yeah. Hey, cool. you said highlight, right? You said highlight for SummerSlam, yes. Right? So, actually, if you don't know, there was a crazy weekend in all of wrestling. If you did not see All Elite Wrestling, because my biggest highlight from all of wrestling over the weekend was not SummerSlam. It was AEW when CM Punk made a return to
in Chicago, wrestling. Right?
Yeah. So, here's the context. So, here's some context. CM Punk retired from wrestling in, like, 2014. He hasn't wrestled since. There were many fans, including like people in WWE and AEW, were begging for him to come back, make a wrestling return. And he has pretty much teased the return, like going into the Rampage, AEW Rampage. They were just teasing his return. When I saw him come back, I was just excited. You know, he has that probably, in my opinion, my favorite theme song in WWE history, The Cult of Personality. When I heard that playing, it's just
great song.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's a great song. CM Punk he's kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin of like this era, this generation. Because both guys, they basically, it was them against the company and they fought through.
AEW definitely has a lot of stuff going on. They have some, you know, they've invested in some older wrestlers, but they definitely got some excitement. I think it'll be good for the WWE to have a little competition because it's going to make everyone step up their game.
Yeah, and next thing, CM Punk, you know, on Dynamite, he decided to tease the signing of Daniel Bryan. He'll probably go by his real name, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I kind of read that somewhere. I'm guessing there had been a non-compete, and that's why you hadn't seen him, because I would imagine he would have probably signed immediately to start wrestling.
So some people have no compete clause, but that is only used Well, that is mainly used for people that got released from their contracts, that were under contract and they got fired. They get like a 90-day no-compete clause, so they can't. That also goes to people that had their contract expired, but that depends. So I guess Daniel Bryan was one of those people that had a no-compete clause because his contract expired. But there's another wrestler currently in the WWE. His contract actually expired. I don't know if he resigned yet, but it expired today. And the name this wrestler goes by and goes in the NXT brand, his name, Adam Cole.
Yeah, they've been talking that. No one knows what's going on with that one.
Yeah, I mean, they ended the feud between him and O'Reilly. Auto Parts. Just kidding.
O'Reilly. Wouldn't that be great? That would be like his music come out.
Yeah. O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
I'm a big fat pig. I'm a big fat pig.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Adam Cole. He might go to AEW, but the thing is that I don't think he can go by Adam Cole. I don't think he's allowed to go by Adam Cole. WWE, I think, has that rights to the name now.
Very likely.
Yeah, even though I think that's Adam Cole's actual real name.
you can't use your real name. Because we own the rights to it now.
Yeah.
So,
happened to somebody. I'll get back to you on
here. I think it was Shamu.
Maybe.
He had to go by, instead of Shamu, he had to go by Frank, Steve, or Frank.
Wait, Frank the Whale.
I think y'all told me about this.
About Shamu?
No, it was a wrestler. I think.
Like, is there another podcast you're on talking about wrestling? Because this doesn't sound familiar.
Does it? No. And I'm here every week.
I'm here every week.
What storyline is she following?
The one in my brain.
She's following the crochet challenge storyline.
It's on.
I'd like to see the manager.
I'd like to see the manager. That's what a Karen would say.
How about the ultimate Karen?
Oh, yeah, the ultimate Karen. Typical soccer mom hair, complains, says, I'm going to call the police on you.
Do your homework.
That's one thing I would want to do if I get elected governor, get rid of all the Karens.
Oh, I thought the police.
Oh, I thought homework.
No. No, police is good. Police are good. Karens need to go.
You're a real law and order guy, huh?
Yep.
You know, that's good for a guy who's just gotten out of prison.
Yeah.
Really good.
Sure. Showing your reform.
Yeah. It did good. Yeah. Like it worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I also want to protect the state. Just in case, like, we get another attack, because I am not going to explain what's going on in the current events, because I'm not political.
What are you doing about the border with New Jersey? I mean, people are just flooding through. I mean, they built a tunnel from New Jersey to New York. I mean, it's not safe.
Yeah, so they built two tunnels, and one bridge connects New York and New Jersey.
You got to put an end to that.
Yeah.
So what's your plans, Governor?
Subway slam.
I mean, they're literally people from New Jersey are flooding into the city and taking everyone's jobs.
Yeah, I have a good idea. How about we just build a wall?
I like it. You know what? Make New Jersey pay for it.
Yeah. What about Connecticut?
Oh, Connecticut? Yeah, we're going to make them. We're going to build a wall. And maybe we'll just have to do that with Vermont and Pennsylvania too.
Wow.
We're just gonna do border walls over our borders. And you know what? I hate to do this for all the tourists, but we might have to shut down Niagara Falls and build a wall between United between.
Can you just
New
turn
York
off that
Canada.
Faucet?
Yeah.
And then it gets a little drop. Yeah.
Yeah. No more Niagara Falls. We're going to build a wall.
Subway slam.
That sounds fantastic.
Sounds
like your platform's really coming together.
Yeah, and this is so...
It's about as stable as some rickety old, you know, pine boxes.
Yeah, and we're going to make sure... A, no attacks come, so I'm not going to make sure the Taliban comes and attacks the New York State, because if they do, I'm going to be mad.
That's good.
Yeah, and two, no one's taking our job. No one's taking the jobs. No one's stealing jobs. So that's why we're building the wall.
Multiple walls.
Well, what's your take on the dark side? Because there was a rumor I read on Reddit that you're secretly a Sith Lord.
A Sith Lord?
Oh, yes, and you're going to create an empire.
That's right.
And build a Death Star and start blasting other states. Hey, listen,
right.
It was on Reddit.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah. There's got to be some facts to it. It's on the internet and Reddit.
Hey, I was listening to that.
That's not true. That's not true. My headquarters is gonna be you know what? I actually just made some profit over my wrestling career. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I used the money to buy my new headquarters, which now means I am the new owner of the New York Yankees.
So the Steinbrenner family knows about this.
Yes, I bought the Yankees.
It's funny, ESPN said nothing about that today. It's crazy.
Get far. I'm more.
It must be really, really secretive.
Yeah,
it's gotta be really like right wing news or something, because I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I spoke with Steve Cohen. And,
I haven't seen a nickel of that money.
Wait, what is this? The Newsmax Sports Channel? What's going on here?
I don't know. So I bought the New York Yankees. We reached agreement with the Steinbrenners. All I gotta say is, hey, Steve Cohen, I'm more rich than you.
That's right.
Well, with that said, Subway Slam, let's reconvene next week, and awesome. We're gonna have to hear a little bit more on your platform.
Yeah, yes, I have a lot to. I have a lot on my plate to digest now.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, you do. Thank you for joining us, folks. Thank this you. Is the Subway Slam.
The eighth wonder, Subway Slam. Peace.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Subway Slam. He never disappoints. Yeah.
No. Guy's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
It's like he doesn't have time. It's like you don't see him wrestling anymore, right? Or
is it me? It's like he can't wait to go back to jail.
Yeah. Like wrestling wasn't a good enough gig for him.
Yeah, he's like, now he's going to try to steal the Yankees from Steinbrenners. I don't think Hal's going to like that too much when he finds out he don't own the Yankees anymore.
He'll be a little disappointed.
I don't think he saw the offer.
Yeah. Hey, who's this guy in my owner's box?
Well, it's the Subway Slam.
Eating all the chicken fingers.
Yeah. He beats him over the head with a pretzel.
I must have drank me 14 Dr. Peppers.
Well,
that's right.
There you go.
Now, they call it $1 million shot. I never saw a nickel that money, though. Anyways. All right.
The army must keep that money.
Yeah, the army must. Hey, I just want to report, you know, I did eat a Subway tuna this week.
Yeah.
It was very delicious.
Oh, my God.
Is it as good as the oxtail or the gizzards?
I would put oxtail above gizzards because I've never eaten a gizzard. And oxtail and tuna would be, you know, on the same plane. It just depends on what you're craving. I was craving a tuna sandwich.
I can't say I've ever had an oxtail sandwich.
I haven't had an oxtail sandwich. I just eat oxtail. I've had oxtail ravioli.
That sounds interesting, actually. What the hell's going on
over
there?
What are you doing, Big Ed?
What's going on?
What are you making?
It's amazing, this thing. You guys can't hear me talk, but I pour a drink from the refrigerator and all the fucking world knows about it.
Well, it's just like, it's like a sound effect factory. It's like...
Yeah.
We should be taping this shit and selling it.
It's so crazy.
Earlier in the show, you break it up. I can't understand what you're saying. I walk into the kitchen. Hey, what the fuck you doing, man? Hey, we can hear everything. You know what? I buy Publix fruit punch. And I just realized it has fructose in it. I'm like, it just broke my heart. Because that stuff is so bad for you and addicting, you know?
Yeah, think
that explains my love for Publix fruit punch. I'm addicted to high fructose corn syrup. But it's so good. Anyway.
Now, do you get this punch at the where they put the iced tea, or is it on the aisle with the sodas?
No, it's a Publix brand. It's in like their generic gallon container with the teas and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But it is really delicious.
Do you think they're like buying like Hawaiian punch and just like buying that?
No, it's nothing. It's nothing like Hawaiian. It has its own unique flavor.
Its own wang to it?
Yes.
So give us a quick rundown on the flavor there, Big Ed.
Delicious.
What's up front? Is it like a pineapple-y taste? Are you getting like a berry taste?
It's a blend of all of them equally. They hit you all at once.
It's not as sweet as Hawaiian punch, is it? Tasting?
It tastes nothing like... It's just fruit punch. It's not tropical punch. The tropical punch is pink. This is orange.
Oh.
I just got to say, just try it, and then you'll see. I understand.
I might have to put it on the shopping
list. I only get it when I get groceries delivered. It's the only time I think about getting it. Otherwise, I don't usually have it. I mean,
why wouldn't you think about getting it in the store?
Because in the store, I don't want to carry all that shit around when I go home.
Well, they have this invention called a shopping cart.
I know. Then I got to carry it upstairs, 3 floors.
Oh, okay.
So anytime I need water, detergent, and stuff, I get all that stuff delivered.
So you know what I do? You don't have a balcony. Why don't you just throw it up onto that balcony and then go upstairs? You don't
because
have to carry anything.
I've thought of that, but there's no opening.
Yeah, I'm just cottage cheese everywhere. Maybe I shouldn't have thrown that cottage cheese jug.
What the hell is this guy?
Oh, that's Corbin. He apparently got loaned money, so now he doesn't. He got dry cleaning.
Shirt doesn't have the moving stain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got his hair cut.
Yeah.
I get it. Red velvet. Yeah. He's got a little bar in the corner.
He's living the high life.
Yeah.
He thinks he's the nature boy.
We did pull up in a Bentley.
He did pull up in a Bentley.
He's just one backflip away from being a bum.
That'd be a great t-shirt.
You know what? I do like this guy, but I do like watching him lose. He's a good heel because he like everyone like he comes out, people just boo the shit out of him.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, he does the whole pathetic really good.
And the stain was intensified on. I guess they intensified it for SummerSlam.
So what did he win in the SummerSlam, and that's he got his mojo back or something?
No, he didn't win at SummerSlam. He actually got his ass whooped. I must have missed how he got money. They probably
show in Vegas. Maybe gamble.
Oh, that's shit. Exactly what it is. He won in Vegas. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, crap. Sable. Yeah. I had a good friend that was playing blackjack in Vegas. He was up $15,000.
I would have just walked the hell away.
He called me that night. I was like, go home. Yeah. He gave away all the money back the next day.
What the hell's wrong? I would have been like, thank you. I'm leaving.
Dude, that
15 G's.
I was sick to my stomach when I heard that. I'm way too conservative to get that crazy.
Me too. Gambling. Me too. Hey, if I was up that much, I'd cash
if I'm
out.
Down $20, I'm like, no.
I'm leaving. I'm done with this bullshit. That's yeah. Yeah.
But I like Vegas. Vegas is fun.
I've never been. I'd like to go.
I've been a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, for my old work, they'd send us out to Vegas, and we'd be out there 2-3 weeks at a time. So, doing training and stuff. So,
doing Vegas stuff when you're not training.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's just to the point that you're just so bored of it, you don't even do that.
What do you do?
That's where I'm. You bring your PlayStation.
Oh.
You bring your PlayStation. And then you start a game, you know, a tournament of games with people.
Oh, okay.
We did a whole bracket of NCAA football, like, 1 week. It was pretty great. Yep. Oh, it's about that. It's about that hour.
About that time. Could it be that time there, Casey?
Oh, no. Actually, Big Ed wanted to speak about something.
Oh, okay.
Real quick,
Big Ed.
Leading into
that time.
Correct.
Why don't you take it away, Big Ed?
Sure. I just wanted to say a few words about Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts is the drummer for the Rolling Stones for the last 58 years. He passed away. Apparently, I think it was from throat cancer. They haven't confirmed it, but he was sick and he had already had throat cancer. Anyway, he passed in a hospital with his family around and very peaceful. Charlie Watts is 80. He drummed for the Rolling Stones for 58 years. He also had a jazz band that he toured with, and that was really his first love. Played on all of the Stones' 30 studio albums, designed all the record sleeves and stage designs. Regarded as one of the best rock drummers of all time. Watts was rock's ultimate drum god who made the Stones great by conceding nothing to them, meaning that nothing impressed Charlie Watts, not even the Stones. The master timekeeper and the king of no frills. Rest in peace, Charlie. Thanks for the memories.
Yeah, very well said.
That chills again.
You know, so I saw the Rolling Stones on the Voodoo Lounge tour. Actually, I saw them with you there, Big Ed. And there was a part in the show, and it was a long show. I mean, they played about like 3 hours. They were very impressive. But some fan had a sign that said, it's hard to be humble when you know you're number one. And the camera like immediately goes to Charlie Watts, and the crowd went like berserk.
Wow. Yeah.
It was just funny. And like he kind of like half smiled. I mean, that's about as – crazy.
He was as down to earth as you could be for the kind of stardom he had achieved, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I think we were talking earlier, but he was at the Playboy Mansion during their peak in the 70s. And while the band is out cohorting and stuff, he's in the game room playing pinball machine, you know?
That says a lot right there.
Yeah, he's a married guy. He didn't fool around on the road. He was just a regular guy. And he loved jazz. I think, the Rolling Stones paid the bills, and he got to do all these other things in life. So good for him.
Right. He got to do his real love.
Right. Go ahead. My bad.
Big Ed's
Rock and Roll Retrospective
Countdown.
Take it away, Big Ed.
Thank you, guys. So this week we're going to be up to I left off with last week at number 31 with the James Gang. Tonight I'm starting off with Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run, 1973. The third studio album by Paul McCartney and Wings. It was released in December of 73. It was McCartney's fifth album after leaving the Beatles in April of 70. Paul McCartney played bass, guitar, drums on this album. Two radio staples, Band on the Run and Jet, really validated McCartney as a songwriter. I guess there was a stigma with him because nothing went number one right after the Beatles. But I got to tell you, Ram was his second solo album we did with Linda, and it was a great album. So I don't know. It had I don't know. Oh, Admiral Halsey, there's Across the Water about what I.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a fun song.
Yeah, very Beatles-esque. But anyway, this kind of put him back to the status that he should have already been. This has such a nice charm with some rock classics and some really great synthesizer riffs on songs like Mamounia, 1984, and Band on the Run. This is actually the first time the synthesizer was a featured instrument. This album brings back some great memories of the Tampa Palms era. I couldn't live without this album. I get turned on by this by Tiger Malloy and Billy Baru. And we listen to this almost daily at Tiger's house. She loved this album, and I therefore fell in love with it as well. Number 29, Yes, Fragile, 1971. When I think of being tight, precise, only one group comes to mind, and that is Yes. Fragile is the epitome of execution and precision with radio staples Roundabout. Clocking in at 8 minutes and 30 seconds and Yours Is No Disgrace, which was another 11 minutes, were radio songs in the 70s. They were the exception to the three and a half minute radio song. This album was double platinum, over 2.5 million albums sold. I loved listening to South Side of the Sky, probably one of my favorite songs of all time, with lyrics like, were we ever colder on that day, a million miles away, and it all seemed like yesterday, an eternity. Love this album. Number 28, Stone Temple Pilots, Tiny Music, Songs from the Vatican Gift Shop. Came out in 1996. Yeah, this thing I heard on the radio, I think it was Lady Picture Show, and it caught my attention. It was being played on 98 Rock. I bought the CD and would listen to this getting ready for work. I could listen to this every day and never tire of this. I think Scott Weiland's vocals were some of his best vocals. This is a two-time platinum, number four in Billboard 200. Stone Temple Pilots are the loosest, tight band I've ever heard of. None of the musicians in this band get the accolades that Weiland does. These musicians are every bit as good as Scott Weiland's vocal talents. This is a great album from start to finish, and has a great flow with four singles released for radio airplay. I think you had like Tumble in the Rough, Big Bang Baby, Lady Picture Show, and my favorite, Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart.
Oh, great song.
Number 27, Rush, Corrosive Steel, 1975. This is one of my all-time favorite albums, for no other reason that this really started to define the band Rush for the next few albums up to Moving Pictures. Number 148 on Billboard 200 and certified gold with 500,000 copies sold, which I did not know. I love the opening track, Bastille Day. It's kind of an homage to Led Zeppelin to show their rocking side, and then into 12-minute Tolkien-inspired Necromancer inside two six-part song, The Fountain of Lament. You need to get a copy of this and see why Rush is a badass band. Number 26, the Monkees, headquarters, 1967.
I like the Monkees.
This is the third album issued by the Monkees, and the first with the songwriting and instrumental performances by the members themselves. They wrote, produced, and played. They are the only person that came in at a session basis, two session basis for studio stuff. Rather than by session musicians, professional songwriters, this reached number one on Billboard's 200 chart and was certified double platinum in the United States. It was number one for 1 week. The following week, Sgt. Pepper's came out and was number one for 11 weeks.
Oh, geez.
But they did sell 2 million copies that first year, and it peaked at number two on the UK charts. It is included in the 2000 book, 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die. I just loved it because it was the Monkees themselves writing, playing, and having all the control to do as they please. I really love this album and Peace and Love with a little tomfoolery sprinkled throughout. I must have for the 60s pop-loving sound in you. And those are my next five of the top 40 must-haves of the Big Ed collection.
Nice. Pretty eclectic five albums there.
Yeah, all great. These are all great in their own right. I mean, Rush Caress of Steel, I wore that thing out on cassette. Paul McCartney and Wings, the band on the run. I can't say enough about this album. You know, they went the week before they were supposed to leave for they recorded part of this in like Nepal, South Africa, or Nigeria. Hmm. And two of the band members, they fell out. So Paul McCartney wound up playing bass, guitar, and drums, and sang on this album in the studio.
There's a rough like outtake of them playing Jet in the studio, and there was a time I listened to that every morning I woke up. That was like the first thing I get that going. That got my day going. But oddly enough, their drummer looked like oddly, like almost like Elton John. You're like, Elton John's playing the drums. It's really weird. I recommend everyone looking that up. It's really good.
Look, Paul McCartney post Beatles did some of his best writing.
I agree with you, though.
A Band on the Run is a masterpiece. I don't care what anyone says. This one I'll take to the grave. I'll take this album any day. Wings was a badass group, and they were a great tour. Paul McCartney spent almost a whole decade on the road with Wings.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he toured a lot.
And yes, if you've never seen Yes before, these guys are the epitome of what being tight and just the precision, you know, because there's a lot of moving pieces in this band. I've seen them twice. I saw them in 92 and I saw them in 2018 with Jimmy Mike.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
We saw them in downtown DC at some old refurbished theater.
See, guys that play guitar, like really play guitar, they always tell me Steve Howe's the hardest guy to replicate. He's such a precise guitar player.
I think he was 72 when I saw him, and he was every bit as impressive as he was when he was 42 when the last time I saw him. They were incredible. But this album now,
I never understood the dynamic of the band until there's like on, you know, they'll play on Sternthology, but it was from like either like the early 90s before, I guess we were getting them syndicated down south, but Yes came in the studio on the Howard Stern show and they fought the whole time. It was so tense. I didn't realize how those guys, it was a very, I don't know. They didn't get along well for sure.
No, that band was one big ego. They called this album you know, Yes, Fragile got some really good reviews, but they called it like a show-off album. It's a great album, but you know, Roundabout, the great song. Yours is No Disgrace. Yeah. South Side of the Sky. I mean, there were just some great tracks on it, you know.
Yeah. No, this is a good list. So we're you know, almost halfway through. We're going to be going to 25 to 21 next week. So yeah, I'm pretty excited where this is going.
After we'll be breaking into the top 20.
See, what I like about rock and roll is like it's open for debate, discussion, and interpretation. That's what I like about rock and roll.
Yeah, and you know what? And in 10 years, this list could change. 10 years ago, this list would be a little different, with the exception of having Zeppelin 3, A Faith No More. There'll be, you know, there'll be a Rush album on there. Paul McCartney and Wings would always be on there.
Well, yeah, your honorable mention list would have to be a little bigger, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? What sounds good to you does evolve over time.
Sure.
A lot of time. You know, and what at one point in your life that you thought was awesome, you hear it down the road and you're like, well, it really doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, but you know what? This Monkey album called Headquarters, I didn't start listening to it till like 2004. I think I saw a documentary and I was like, God, I didn't know that they played their own stuff, or because they were – the Monkees were a TV band. They were made up. There was just a primetime show, and they got to rub elbows with all these musicians. And
they were like the first Millie Vanilli.
But they were known to Millie Vanilli. They weren't.
Yeah. Right.
The one Monkey who had musical talent coming in was Mike Nesmith.
Oh, so the story is – oh, that's who it is. So Mike Nesmith was like, hey, we're going to record something. And like the guys that ran the show – and did all the writing, they like laughed at him, like, no, 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 we got musicians that are going to record all this stuff for you.
And Nesmith, he didn't like that.
He did not at all.
That was Don Kirshner. Don Kirshner was the one in charge, like the creative and getting the music and all that stuff. And they got rid of Don Kirshner, the Monkees did three albums. The third album, they wrote and played themselves. The other albums, they were studio people that were hired to write the music and sing. And then they would come in and listen to this group sing it. And then they would have to sing it the way they'd sang it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? They put out it's great. It's a great album.
It's in your top 40.
Now, let me throw this at you, Big Ed. Here is a...
And they harmonize really nice. It's a really good album.
Now, I'm going to throw this out, and I'll have one of these put together for next week for a Big Mike's Cosmic Country Cavalcade.
Oh, nice.
Here's an album. Mike Nesmith, after he left the Monkees, he formed the first national band, and they did three albums in a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Busy.
Very busy.
Well, they did two in 67. They did the one before it and then this one. So they were busy guys for that short of time they were given.
So I'm going to say, here's the album. Check this one out, because Mike Nesmith, I think, is really cool. And he had a studio musician join him. Steel guitar player by the name Red Rhodes played with the first national band on all their albums. So there's three. Check those out, and I'm going to do one, my favorite one, next week for a Cosmic Country Cavalcade.
Well, text me the name, and I'll download it and listen to it all.
I will text. All right, I'll do that after the show. I'll shoot it to you, and I'll play it for our in-studio audience.
Hmm.
After the show tonight.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, all you guys have iTunes?
Yes.
No.
I do.
Alright, I'll have to find it on YouTube for Casey, but
alright, I gotta say I like the Roman Reigns new shirt, the Bloodline. That's pretty cool looking.
See, I'm not a Roman Reigns fan.
He's grown. I wish I could hear what's going on. Obviously, there's a disconnect.
There's a disconnect. He's ready to go to Brock. I bet you. This is the breakup right Brock's here. In his
dressing room. It seems like
I think he's mad at him because, you know, the whole thing was like he knew about Brock. Maybe he didn't tell him Brock was coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So he's kind of butthurt over that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to have to catch up later. Anyways.
Nope.
Ziggler and Rude.
So, good job, Big Ed, as always. Love your insight. And your reviews.
Yes. Well, does anyone else have anything left to add for
this evening's potpourri of topics? Do people still put potpourri in their house? My mom used to have potpourri all
this guy's going to wrestle.
Yeah. Guitar guy. The musician. Yeah.
Rick Boggs.
Oh, yeah, he's got them all tied up.
Now he's...
All right.
It's like
he's playing a highway to hell on his leg.
Yeah.
Well, he's almost strumming his stromboli there.
Yeah.
He probably has a potpourri.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's not the whammy bar.
It's a whammy.
All right. Well. Well,
hey, there's some music.
Because I need a different browser. Sorry, everyone, if the show doesn't sound well, the sound quality, we're working through a couple things. Catch you next week.
Bye. What's the little furry guys that sell mobile phones now? That's what Melissa sounds like.
Ewoks. She sounds like an Ewok.
Melissa.
Sweet Melissa, our favorite Ewok.
She could maybe get us in free at Disney for the
Star Wars thing.